It is a spring-like afternoon, although spring doesn't officially arrive until tomorrow. I'm Scoot on the air. I'm really glad you're with us. I want to title this hour, The City We Love, with Scoot and Sydney. Sydney Torres is in the studio with us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Sydney.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me, Scoot.
Man, thank you for coming in. This is a controversy that started last week when Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser one night sent me a letter and sent me a letter that he had sent to the city council member, Freddie King. And the lieutenant governor had witnessed, during the Super Bowl and Mardi Gras, had witnessed what Ivy Waste, owned by Sydney Torres, was doing in the French Quarter. They were going above and beyond the contract. They were doing more. They were paying attention to details that they didn't have to pay attention to. In other words, they were just doing the extra work to just make it really special. And he was commenting on that, and he was concerned when he started hearing that there might be an interruption in service and that Troy Henry, who owns Henry Consultants, had a contract approved, but the contract that was approved was different than the contract that the city council was asked to vote on. And we'll get into that this afternoon. I did a lot of research on this last night. I don't know everything, but Troy Henry really insulted me yesterday when, first of all, he called into the show. We didn't have to let him on, but I let him on. And he tried to talk circles around me, and I found some sources that gave me some really vital information. And I also did some research last night until like 1 or 2 in the morning. And I know more now than I did then. And talking about the inner workings of city government is not my area of expertise. You know, I'd rather talk about music. I'd rather talk about Sydney's relationship with Lenny Kravitz. I'd rather talk about all that kind of stuff. But I love this city. And this is where I was born. And I care about this city being right. And I care about the right thing being done. And so when this comes up now that that Henry Consultants is pulling a power play, it seems like to me, to try to get the contract away from Ivy Waste, this is something that we need to discuss. And so we're going to talk about this afternoon. But I just want to bring you into the beginning of how this all started with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser sending me that letter and his concern that Sydney Torres would suddenly lose this contract. Now, Troy Henry is suing, so this is all in the courts right now, and there's a lot going on in the courts, so nothing is going to change right now. So Sydney continues to have the contract. The other thing that bothered me was Troy Henry trying to make it seem like the city council doesn't really make the decision on these contracts, and the city council does. And I read part of the city charter, and the city council does indeed make decisions when it comes to contracts over $1 million over multiple years. I also said, and I said this in a video that I posted, so obviously now Troy Henry is tuned into my show and also tuned into my Facebook and Instagram account. I posted a video on Instagram, Scoot on the Air Instagram and Scoot on the Air Facebook, and I said, well, you know, when we talk about this relationship with Oliver Thomas and Troy Henry, Oliver Thomas announcing yesterday as a city council member that he's running for mayor, I talked about what I had heard that they had a relationship. And what was that relationship? And I said, well, they're cousins. Well, Troy Henry called my boss, Diane Newman, and just ranted about how I'm making stuff up. Well, Diane Newman has my back. I mean, you know, she wants me to be honest and truthful, but she's got my back. And I said, well, okay, well, I'll take the video down. I took it down, but then put another one up right away. And she said, don't back down until we know the truth. Well, as it turns out, Troy Henry called Oliver Thomas his cousin. This is also documented in a Times-Picayune 2018 article. So this is not a secret. And if he's just calling him cousin and he's not really his cousin, then okay, well, then explain it. But I don't owe you an apology because of you calling him your cousin, and I said you guys are cousins. In fact, here is that moment. I got this from my source. I got this today. This is a video. This is the audio from a video where Oliver Thomas is called Troy Henry's cousin by Troy Henry.
Clarity to that. Oliver Thomas is my cousin. So we have been colleagues or cousins for as long as I've known him. And
as long as I've been alive.
He's a lot older than me, a lot older. And anyway, but we've always been close. And so I thought what I would do is we wanted to kind of put some clarity in place to...
So, you know, here's a guy, Troy Henry, Henry Consultants. He's trying to bust me for making stuff up by calling him and Oliver Thomas cousins? When you just heard him say, you just heard Troy Henry say, Oliver Thomas is my cousin. And this is something that you knew, Sidney.
Well, I mean, I've known, you know, Oliver for quite some time, doing business in the city as a real estate developer back in 99, 2000, and then after Katrina, getting involved in government work. I've dealt with Oliver Thomas and also with Troy Henry, and I know that they have always been close, and that's fine. You can have relationships, but just, you know, just say it like it is, and he said it like it is before, and we just heard that clip. But, you know, it's very frustrating when it doesn't go the way that they want it to go, or it should go. It becomes a race issue, and that is just, that's what holds the city back. I mean, I spent a lot of time, and we can talk about this through the segment, financing young individuals in this city that are trying to come up. Larry Morrow is one of them. He's got one of the biggest restaurant privately owned in the city. I've been with him from the beginning. He's done the footwork 100%. I've given him opportunity. Every time I ask him to do something, he does it. That's the kind of programs that should be set in place, not just because when you want it to go a certain way and it doesn't, you turn it into a race issue. It lowers the bar for the city. And I just think, you know, there's definitely talk that needs to be had. The disadvantaged, the DBE program, I think, needs to be redone. I think the way it's set up is not going to be successful. It hasn't, to me, my opinion on it hasn't been, because Troy Henry mentioned that, well, Sidney had subs. I heard what he said the other day. Yes, I had a DBE sub because that's what the city requires. I have a DBE sub that's handling the payroll. So there's things that you have to do when you're bidding on these contracts, but I was doing all the work when I bid on the contract. So we can talk about that a little bit further. But my point is that every time there comes, and I've experienced this personally, when I won Area 1 of the city of New Orleans, which is uptown, mid-city, they awarded me the contract, I ordered my trucks, hired managers, talking about 66,000 homes, you got to be prepared for this. A couple of months before it's supposed to start, after 6 months of 4 to 5, 6 months after awarding it to me, Oliver puts up that he wants to give it to Mr. Alvin Richards, and which is fine, but it wasn't fine because they already went through the process of awarding it to me, and then they were trying to change it, and then it became about race, and it was a whole thing on the podium about, you know, African American owned businesses and how it's not treated, that they're not treated fairly, and that we're not doing certain things, and there's nothing that I was taking away from them. They bid on it, they didn't get it, we got it, and the pie is big, but when you're talking about sanitation and what it involves and what it takes to get it done, you got to make sure you have the right person on the job. And at the end of the day, if you want to help somebody grow a business or you want to train someone to do a business, there should be a mentor program, which I've talked about doing before. I know there's other council members that have put things forward where it's a grading where you work and you work your way up. You have one truck that does one route, and over years you graduate to getting two routes or three routes. But for Troy Henry to be saying that he's experienced, and he doesn't even have a garbage truck. And I'm not trying to criticize him. I've known him through the city for years. It's a small city. He's a consultant. And yes, he won the emergency contract at the airport, and he has that. And I don't want to make this about me against Troy, because that's not what it's about. But he had mentioned my name, and he had said some things that he could do it better. I disagree with that. But at the end of the day, he had an opportunity, and it didn't work out for him, and that's the thing.
But Sidney, it also, you know, I wanted to talk to you yesterday, just as a businessman, and I'm curious at a time when I see in retail businesses and in the workplace, I see a lot of employees who don't want to do their job, and those who do their job, they do it very apathetically. But there are certain companies that just make people just rise to the top and do a great job. Trader Joe's is an example. Man, you go to Trader Joe's, and it's like those people like being at work. You go somewhere else, and there's a cashier on the phone with somebody while she's checking out your groceries. And I wanted to talk to you yesterday about how you as a businessman inspire people to be so passionate about trash. It's trash. And you do that. And you talked about some interesting techniques about the right people in the right place and just encouraging people to do more than they have to do. And that is a unique thing in New Orleans, because this city has a very a very unusual tolerance for mediocrity, and that's something that needs to change, and you change that, and I think by your methods, you threaten a lot of people.
Look, I always say, you know, my grandmother used to say, you know, a dog doesn't bark at a parked car, right? And it's true, you know, you're going to make waves, if you're doing something right, people are going to come at you, and that's just the way it is, right? So, but the thing is, and I just talked to someone that was, when I was just walking in, I ran into someone from the station, and we were talking because they were talking about the job we do in the quarter and throughout the city. And I was talking about, if you do the right thing and you're consistent with how you enforce the rules and you stand by what is your main principle as far as what you want with your business, and you do it right, the right thing happens. And I've noticed that over the years. I've had ups and downs. I've had things that I've had to deal with. But I know that I've always given 100% to the job that I do, whether it's one customer in Gentilly or it's one customer uptown or it's one customer in the French Quarter. I treat everybody the same, and I make sure that they all get the best service for what they're paying for.
Yeah, and look, you know, this was never, for me, this was never about saying anything negative about Troy Henry. I mean, I knew the name, but I don't know anything about him. I know he got the contract with the Six Flag site. I've known some things about his business, but I didn't pay attention to Troy Henry. But yet he called up and he made it about Troy Henry. And so, you know, then I, you know, and in attacking me, and then how dare he call my boss and call me out for saying that he and Oliver Thomas are cousins when Troy Henry called Oliver Thomas his cousin. I texted Troy last night. I said, do you want to come on the show today and maybe clear up some things? And I didn't hear anything. I have heard nothing from him. So, you know, that's his decision.
Yeah, and look, it's a shame because at the end of the day, there was a process. And the process was they put out an RFP. Individuals bid on it, and we all bid on it. And, you know, with the scoring, how it was scored, you know, anybody can do a public records request and look at how it was scored because it's public information if you want to get it. I would strongly suggest look at that and try to see how it was. I did. My price was higher on the initial bid. But the truth is if you really want to look at the original bid, the second person who should have gotten it from a grading standpoint with price because he was lower was Bobby Ramelli. Now, Bobby and Ramelli and I, we squashed our differences and we're actually become friends. So, you know, we've talked and like he said, if they're going to award it to Henry, he says, then it should have been awarded to me because I was the low bidder by him changing his price after he was awarded the price and then changed it. So, you know, I like doing the work. I love doing the work. Don't get me wrong. I'm passionate about cleaning the French Quarter. I'm passionate about keeping our city clean. I want to do a great job. I live and breathe this. But at the end of the day, whoever gets it needs to do the same thing if they want to do a great job.
Yeah, and you've done such a great job with the city and you know, helping out the police department years ago and all you've done. I know a lot of people want you to run for mayor, and you know, I would encourage you to do that. But I know that you thought about it and you decided no. And, you know, just the research that I did until about 1 or 2 this morning, last night on this whole thing, you know, it is a really ugly, ugly job being mayor of New Orleans or even being on the city council. Because of the potential favoritism, because of the way things are laid out, it's not good. And I've lived in great cities around this country and been on the air in great cities, and this doesn't happen everywhere, but it happens here. And so Troy Henry also brought some things upon himself. He is playing the victim card in addition to the race card. He's also saying that he was awarded the contract and the contract should be given to him. But there's some things that you need to know about that, and we'll talk about that with Sidney Torres when we come back. We are talking about trash, and Sidney Torres is the best to take care of that. All right, if you want to join us for the comments, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. This show is titled, at this hour of the show, is titled We Love the City with Scoot and Sidney, and we'll be right back on WWL. Dusty. You gotta love a guy who loves trash. You got to love a guy who loves what he does, picking up trash, and that is Sidney Torres. This hour of the show is titled The City We Love with Scoot and Sidney. Sidney Torres in the studio with us. So let's enlighten people about two things. Number one, Oliver Thomas is crying about how he deserves the contract because his contract was approved.
Troy Henry.
The Troy Henry contract that was approved changed when it came time for the city council to officially sign it and approve it. And what Troy Henry had done was he had changed the subcontractor, who ended up being another consulting firm who was going to sub out to now a company in Monroe that was not a disadvantaged business. And also he changed the price. The price went up. It went higher. So why is he complaining that his contract wasn't approved? It sounds like he's whining and playing this, well, I'm a disadvantaged business, and that's something else that we can get to in a minute. But Troy Henry changed the contract that he's complaining the city council didn't approve.
Correct. And I mean, that's how we stepped in. And because they had to do an emergency contract because the council believed that they didn't like the way that it went down, and they felt like that it needs to be further looked at, and that's how we got an opportunity. But when we got in there and we started cleaning the streets and doing what we used to do when we had the contract before, everybody was like, we love this. We don't want to go back. And so even though it's a year emergency contract, we invested over $1.5 million in equipment and built all the machinery that we had to. Plus, we had equipment that we already own because we're in the business, and we were able to go in the quarter and get the job done. So people really liked it. And like Freddie King said, the council member, he says, I said this yesterday, Tom Brady, when Tom Brady was second string and they called him in, they never let the other quarterback back in because right. He did such a great job. And so I can't say enough that this contract take someone that has the service trucks, that has the mechanics, that has the equipment, because when stuff goes down, like the sweeper breaks, the hydraulic line breaks, the pump on the pressure washer breaks, the Polaris is break, we're on a time constraint, and we got to get it cleaned up. And it's really important that you have the right person in there.
Okay, let's talk for just a moment about the minimum that is required in terms of some kind of solution that makes the garbage smell as good as possible. What is required?
Well, in the contract, it requires a disinfectant or deodorizer that helps get rid of that funky Bourbon Street French Quarter smell that everybody smells when they walk down. Well, they don't smell it anymore, but they used to smell it. The way the contract reads, you could go and buy 1 gallon from pine soil, put it in the back of a 4,000 gallon truck, but that's just like a tic tac in a whale's mouth. You're not even going to smell it. Not even going to taste it. So the issue is that it needs to be specific on the mixture. We do 15 gallons. For every 4,000 gallons, right? So you're going to smell it. And that cost is around $20,000 to $25,000 a month. That's the first thing people cut when they start working this contract, because that saves them $20,000 to $25,000 a month. So it needs to be specific so that those requirements are monitored and watched. So when they don't do what they're supposed to do, they correct it. Okay, that's one example of many. The streets, we're only supposed to clean Iberville to Dumaine 3 days a week. We clean it 7 days a week, the cross streets, because people walk off a Bourbon, they urinate, they puke, they do all the things that they do when they get drunk, and then all of a sudden...
Hey, wait a minute, you've been following me?
I have. But anyway, you have a good smelling Bourbon Street, but then you walk to Iberville or Conti and it smells. So we do it 7 days a week. It costs more, it takes a little bit more time, but we do it. We also have the right equipment to do it. Those pressure washer trucks you see, they're $100,000 a piece. They're not just a pressure washer you buy at Home Depot. Those are custom-built pressure washers that we built and we put out there. It's really important to put these specs in the contract if you want to do it right. If you want to make sure that it looks like it does, it smells like it does right now, you got to have those specs in the contract. And I think it's important whoever bids it in a year from now.
The other thing that I want to mention, and this also came up with J.P. Morrell, the council president, earlier on this show. Troy Henry continues to play the disadvantaged business card, and he's taken advantage of that all along the way. And, in the beginning, that's fine. But my source told me this morning that there are truly disadvantaged minorities that are not getting an opportunity to bid because people like Troy Henry are taking up all the space and essentially blocking them out.
I don't have the information on that to really comment on that part of it, because I know when we look at for DBEs or when we're bidding on a contract, it's required to have a certain percentage of DBE participation. Like, for example, on my Area 1 and Area 2, I pay my DBE $400-some thousand a month to manage the transfer station for the recycling, and he does all the transporting, and he handles all of that. But that's a requirement to try to achieve a certain percentage, and that's what's required when you bid on this. But it's very difficult to find the DBEs with the qualifications to be able to handle certain parts of these contracts. Like my DBE has been in the demolition business for 20 something years. I mean, he's an ex-police officer, got into the business, and he does an incredible job for us. He runs everything with us on that. But there, it's very difficult because just like you can't go to a bank and borrow $100,000 unless you have your tax returns, you have P&Ls to match your tax returns, you have to have the same requirements when you're hiring a DBE. You have to make sure that they can pay their payroll, that they can afford to pay their bills, and sometimes they need help, and that's fine. That's what we're supposed to do is the bigger contractor to help other people come up so they can bid on these contracts. But just as a real estate developer, I can't go and develop a 10-plex my first project. I got to start with a little double, a little shotgun double, and I've got to work my way up to that. And it's the same thing as with the DBE program. There's got to be more checks and balances than just a pass-through just to, because you're trying to get through get the contract and get through it. You have to have requirements that these DBEs follow, and it's almost like grading so that they can get to a place where they start with one route, then they grow to two routes, then they go to three routes, but they prove themselves. And that's very important, I think.
And what JP Morrell told me is that there's actually something in the program for disadvantaged businesses that dictates that when you get to a certain point of success, you're no longer a disadvantaged business. I don't see how Troy Henry can still be considered a disadvantaged business.
Well, that's with all DBEs. I mean, I don't know how that's checked or how it's verified. And again, I'm not criticizing the city or the DBE program as far as saying that they're not doing it, because I don't know. But from my experience, I've witnessed that, you know, there are still people in there that are classified as DBEs that there's no way, because they have the financial strength to not be a DBE, and they can go get the money on their own and do what they need to do. So, you know, that's stuff that needs to be looked at as well.
All right, let's go to Ian with some text messages that have come in.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about DBEs in particular. Here's a text message that says, "This is the problem with DEI. It sounds like a good idea to help the minority underprivileged businesses, but the big boys take advantage of it. And instead of the city giving the contract to the best deal for the city, they give it to the DEI hire, and it gets all screwed up by politicians and big company money grabbers." Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's a lot that goes on. I'm somebody that wants everybody to have a chance, and I feel badly for people who didn't have opportunities that I had, even though, you know, nothing was given to me. I had to fight for everything that I had. Nobody came to me and said, "Hey, we want to give you a radio show," or "We want to do this." I had to prove myself, and then I got offers, and I had to prove myself all along the way. So, I mean, that's the way to do it. And you know, it's all about performance, and it should not just depend on, you know, who you are and what neighborhood you were born in. It should be about performance. And, you know, when it comes to a football team, we don't care about anything other than performance. And we don't judge people based on skin color. We judge the performance. And that's the way it should be in business as well.
I agree with you 100%. But the problem is that you have to have, you know, procedures in place to manage that and go through the audits to make that happen.
I would simply add that the DBE program and DEI policies in general are an anti-corruption tool. You cannot be sure that you have the best contractor for the job unless you are sure that you are looking at disadvantaged businesses that are run by racial, religious, gender minorities. You can't make sure that you got the best deal for the city unless you're sure that you're looking at all possible candidates.
Yeah,
it is not the DEI policy's fault that people are taking advantage of it. Then the texter says it right here. It gets screwed up by the politicians.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, by the politicians, not the policies. Here's a text that says, "Yesterday, Troy Henry mentioned that he had a 10-step contract. Could Sydney explain that? And does Sydney offer the same benefits?"
Yeah, I mean, it's the RFP, the way it was written on the litter cans and the waste removal, the pressure washing, the flushing, the street sweeping, there's all those requirements that are in the bid. We make sure that we follow them every day and we go through the whole process, but we do more than what it's called for. Like if you say 3 days, we do 7 days. So there are things in the bid that need to be cleared up and clarified with measurements from, like I said, with the super fresh and making sure the lemon stuff is there in the head count. Like you could, we every morning have 12 people on the street in the morning shift. You could have 6 people. You could still get the job done, but it's not going to look as good. But the requirements in the contract, they need to be a little bit more specific to what is required to get the job done.
Well, some of this is about greed. It's about how much money you retain as opposed to how much money you spend getting the job done.
Well, I think when people first start, their idea is to do the right thing. And then when they start to see what the cost is, then they say, oh, I got to cut back here. Or I got to cut back there. And then what happens is the service starts to lack. And then that's when people start to complain.
I'll leave you with this one for right now. This text says, Sydney needs to clarify the temporary contract versus the permanent contract.
Not a problem. So the temporary contract was for 1 year from December 23rd to December 23rd of December 23rd to 2025, December 23rd. It came about because the council could not, I guess, come to an agreement with the way that everything went down with the RFP and the selection of the RFP. So they decided to put it out as an emergency. The emergency contract is pretty similar to the RFP from the standpoint of the requirements of what is required as far as job performance. What we do above and beyond that is what people notice. But the temporary contract ends December 23rd, 2025.
All right. And so there's been a concern about whether or not that was going to even be interrupted.
Correct.
That you were not going to even be able to go.
That's all this started.
Yeah. My source tells me that it looks like it's going to go on at least for another 6 months. J.P. Morrell kind of confirmed that because so much is tied up in the courts and nothing can be done until some of those things are decided upon. All right. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. And the city we love with Scoot and Sydney coming up. And, you know, we both love the city of New Orleans, and Sydney's been around and I've been around, and we're both back here, and we love the city. It's widely known that Sydney Torres is friends with Lenny Kravitz, so I really would have enjoyed more talking about his relationship with Lenny Kravitz. How is Lenny?
He's doing great. He's on tour right now, and he's excited to play in Headline Jazz Fest this year.
Yeah. I mean, such a cool-looking guy. I mean, so are you. Just cool-looking people. I mean, hair and clothes and style and swag. And
I learned a lot from him.
Yeah. All right, name one thing.
The dress.
Yeah, it's cool.
The attire.
You know, all right, look, so the council changes president, vice president. They go back and forth. So J.P. Morrell now is the vice president of the city council. And Helena Moreno is the president. Okay, I wanted to make sure I got that cleared up. It's kind of confusing, and it's kind of confusing whether it's Trump or Elon Musk or J.D. Vance. It's all confusing on all kind of different levels. So, yeah, I managed to get Trump's name in there. Sydney, I want to talk to you a minute about the disadvantaged businesses. And your business may be mistakenly critiqued because you're a white guy, but how many African Americans do you give jobs to?
95% and of my team is African American.
Okay, so it's so unfair to make race part of this because here's Sydney Torres hiring all of these African Americans. And then we've got, again, I've said, and this is according to my conversation with J.P. Morrell and my source earlier that I talked to this morning, that there are African-American businesses that are not getting the attention that they feel like they should get when it comes to contracts because they're just not even given a chance because they're not insiders. So how do we have this conversation about performance?
Well, I mean, look, I can look from the real estate end. You know, it's very difficult on deals. I had a show, The Deed, on CNBC. I had 2 seasons. And when I would help finance individuals, they would tell me that they'd go to different banks in the city, even minority-owned banks in the city, and not be able to get a loan to do a double, to flip a house. So I would fund it. I would lend them the money, whether it was on the TV show or off the TV show, because I did it both, and I still do it to this day. You have to meet certain thresholds. You have to meet certain goals. Obviously, if I just looked at it from the way the bank looked at it, I wouldn't be able to lend them the money. But you got to believe in the person. They got to show you, like, hey, if you do your tax returns this year and you do in your P&Ls, financial statements, your P&Ls match your tax returns, I'll do a $200,000 loan. I'll do a $300,000 loan. As you grow and you show me that you're going to be responsible and not take the money and go buy a car or spend the money on something that you shouldn't be spending it on and spending it on what you need to, which is the investment, I will continue to invest in you. I have a lot of individuals, I don't even talk about this, I don't even advertise it, that I fund millions of dollars in renovations, and I don't political make it a political thing or anything like that. I do it because I believe in the person that I'm investing in. And the DBE program should be the same way. It should be set up to where you have certain thresholds, certain goals. And when they achieve them financially, they show you that they can do it and they follow through what they're supposed to do. That's how they grow. That's how you get to the next level. That's how I did it with the banks. That's how I got there.
And it seems like some people have taken advantage of that opportunity.
Well, I mean, it's in any situation, you're going to have people trying to take advantage, but we have to get it fixed. If we want to stop this, we have to get it fixed. And it shouldn't be from a podium, from a politician trying to make it and divide the city by race. That's the worst thing that can happen. And I think it's a weak argument, and I think it needs to stop.
You know, I've pointed out quite often on the show about how the people who may have voted for LaToya Cantrell because they look at her and she looks like them and they think that she cares about them. Her behavior in office has been a clear indication that she doesn't really care for those people who thought so much about how she must care for them because she's one of them. And so you have to really look at the person and not the skin color when it comes to voting for a mayor.
Well, I mean, I think even in business, I mean, I think, you know, you just have to, again, you know, you have to have a clear path of what your goals are, your morals, and make sure you stick by them and follow through with it. And look, not every day is a great day. I struggle days fighting to try to get people to understand my way of doing it and wanting to do it my way. Sometimes I have to bend down and do it their way to make it work. But you got to stand by what you believe in, and you got to really push hard every day to do the best you can, to give the best job you can for the people that you're working for. And I don't care if it's, like I said, a small resident in Gentilly, or if it's, you know, one of my largest commercial customers, Caesars Casino. You've got to do the right thing by caring about the people you work for.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me to see you as a businessman care so much about the city. And, you know, you could probably retire if you wanted to. You had this great resort on an island, and you come back and you do real estate, and you somehow find a way to get excited about trash.
You know, sometimes I'm like, why did I get back in this business? It's so political. Everything, you know, everybody's always talking about what's going on. But, you know, I love doing what I do. I love picking up trash. I love cleaning the city.
Great.
I mean, I do. I really do. I enjoy it.
It's like, I'm thankful that there's a doctor that wants to be a proctologist because, you know, that's not an area that I want to go into.
Somebody's got to do it, and you got to love what you do, you know?
Doctor says, hey, it looks good for me. I'm going, if that looks good to you, I wonder what looks bad.
No, but you really have to be passionate about it. And I mean, like, I was driving here. I saw a cigarette butt. I pulled over, picked it up. You've got to, like my supervisor. If I catch you riding around and pass up a cup and not stop that Polaris, you're going to be walking, because it's important to show and lead by example. And I think that's what's been the biggest part of our success is my managers and everybody that works with me. They have the same belief.
Yeah. And litter has become such an acceptable thing in this area.
It's horrible.
And you know, those toothpick things that have the floss on them.
Yeah, they just throw them on the ground.
Yeah, that's litter.
Yes.
That's litter.
Yes. Well, we're dealing with right now with the situation with all the people laying all over the sidewalks in the French Quarter. You know, we have a meeting about that tomorrow to try to deal with it, because they make our job very difficult. When we're trying to come down the street, we try to clean, and then they make a mess right after we leave. So, you know, it's a touchy situation, because you have all the advocates come out and want to say, why are you doing, you know, but we have to do our job too. So it has to be some kind of, so we're trying to work through that as well right now.
All right, let's go to Ian with a couple of fun text messages about the hour.
Yeah, we'll just kind of be light here. Here's one that says, Scoot, how are you doing? And also, Ian, doing well. How are you doing? Also, Ian and Sydney, you are about the most New Orleans loving people I've ever met. Don't let anybody mess with that. Bye.
All right. Yeah.
We won't.
Cool.
Here's the text that says, Sydney learned how to dress from his dad, not Lenny Kravitz. I think his dad won a title of like best dressed professional in New Orleans in the 1980s.
That's
yeah, but
right.
I bet your dad wasn't as hip as you.
He's pretty hip. My dad's pretty hip. He's got a cool thing going. But no, Lenny, being with Lenny over the years and watching him change his style and his fashion, you know, certain things I can't pull off, you know, like see-through shirt. But no, you learn how to mix it up. And I learned a lot from Lenny. But yeah, my dad has great style.
Yeah.
A couple more quick ones. Here's one that says, y'all are both inspiring me, just like me as an occupational therapist. Coming from home to home, just caring for people in the city. It's a privilege and it's a pleasure, And it's sometimes difficult, yes.
Yeah, I love people, and I notice this in life. I love people who are passionate about their jobs. There are peak performers. I remember reading a book years ago, Peak Performers, and it was about people who, you know, whether you're a toll booth collector or whatever, you just do the best job you can, and you love your work.
You have to, and it's a balance between, because people always say, don't get your feelings involved in business, but sometimes it's like when you look at a basketball player or a football player, if they don't, you know, score and something happens on the field, they get very emotional about it. And the ones that don't are really not that successful. The ones that are all in their feelings about it, they care because they're passionate about it.
Two more quick ones. This one says, the city is tough with tough subjects, but thank you for taking this one on. I came here from Central America when I was 5. I've been here ever since because I love the people here and its culture. I've traveled many places, but I'm always ready to return after holiday. Thanks again, Scoot. This is worth fighting for. And I'll leave you with this one. More than one person texted in a variation on this theme. I'll just read this one. When is IV Waste coming to St. Tammany?
We were there before with my old company. We'll see.
How much would it cost to get one of those trucks across the causeway now?
Well, you'd want to open a yard there, but I mean, it's because it doesn't make sense to do all that back and forth travel.
But it's interesting that they want you over there because you do a great job, and I still think those trucks are just so cool. They're always like shining in black, and the big IV right there in white letters on those black shiny trucks. Yeah, that's cool.
It's Sydney, very, very expensive. We spend about $200,000 a year washing trucks.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Listen, I appreciate you spending time with us. I appreciate the information, and I most appreciate your passion for the city and dealing with something that not everybody wants to deal with, and I just appreciate you.
I love this city, and I love you for having me on.
All right. Thanks, Sydney. We'll have you on again.
Thank you.
All right, I'm Scoot, and we're going to come back with more, and we'll get into some fun stuff in the next hour. But if you have any comments about what we've talked about, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Here's some early Nirvana. This is from the Unplugged show on MTV, and Nirvana Unplugged, that was incredible. The song is about a girl. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1988, at the Community World Theater in Tacoma, Washington, not far from where Kurt Cobain was born, Nirvana used the name Nirvana for the first time. They had been known as Skid Row, that's another band. They had been known as Ted, Ed, Fred, Pen, Cap, Chew, and Bliss. Bliss would have been a really good name for Nirvana. And Nirvana is a really good name for Nirvana. And, you know, the angst that came out of the grunge music that came out of the Seattle area in the Pacific Northwest just really related to a young generation that was feeling a lot of angst because they were losing faith in the baby boomer establishment.
Pretty hard to imagine that they have the impact on our culture and music that they did if they're going out as Pen Cap Chew, ladies and gentlemen.
Or Ted, Fred, Ed.
Good Lord.
Ted, Ed, Fred.
Smart move.
Yeah. Yeah, Nirvana was just perfect. All right, we've got some things to cover in the next hour that are a little on the lighter side. I love this Louisiana poll showing that most voters in the state want open primaries. But why doesn't Jeff Landry want an open primary? We'll talk about that. The death row inmate was put to death. Jesse Hoffman, a junior, 46 years old, was pronounced dead at 6:50 last night. It was from the gas nitrogen. And we'll talk a little bit about that since that was a big topic over the last few days.